T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your home is going into foreclosure, and you feel like a financial wreck. You don't know where to turn for accurate information. I'm bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagne. Let's talk about some legal options. If we work quickly, we can propose a plan to save your home, modify the loan, or in many cases, even eliminate your second mortgage. The consultation is free. I've helped hundreds of people just like you make informed decisions about whether to save their home or exit it on a reasonable, organized timeline. The chapter you choose sets the tone for the next chapter of your life. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle, Live Day. It's back. You know what else is back? You're back to being able to watch us do Live Day Live.
Yeah, come party with us.
November 18th at Snoqualmie Casino. It is going to be a blast because, as Steve has said many times, this is our first opportunity to celebrate our big anniversary.
First and only. Because I doubt we're going to have any other parties until the new year. So, hey, come party with us on November 18th and wear something gold or 70s inspired because we're celebrating the golden anniversary of The Rock. Yeah. It started in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And I might change my costume, BJ.
Wait. I thought you were going to be Rocky.
Yeah, but I'm looking at something that's even more amazing.
Okay.
This giant gold thing.
Dude, you're going to have to be doing a show in that all morning, though, right?
Yeah.
And I won't be able to sit next to you if you wear that. It's a big...
Oh, you totally will be able to sit next to him.
What is it? What do you even call that?
It's a giant inflatable gold costume.
Nice.
I look like this giant gold ball.
All right.
You need that.
Look, it's a lot cheaper than the Rocky costume.
The Rocky costume is actually more expensive than the gold.
Well, I was about to buy it, and I realized that that's just for the robe. Then you got to buy the shorts and then the tank top. And next thing you know, you're in $100.
Oh, yeah.
This is damn. 30.
Oh, good call. I mean, after all, you do have a family.
Thank you. I have a child to feed.
As well as Kraken, paraphernalia to buy.
Yeah, right. Oh, it's not gold, but they have a giant eggplant costume. Maybe it'll just be a giant eggplant.
You can paint it gold.
Okay, that, don't know how that will go over, but why not?
Not sure either.
Yeah. Well, anyway, whatever you want to do, dress up, come as you are, it doesn't matter. It's a solid gold 70s theme, and we got great tickets, man. Oh, yeah, all different package and options you can choose from. Get your tickets now. Go to KISW.com.
Let's play B. Migs.
It's time to play the game.
Woo!
It's Wednesday, so maybe we should whack him instead.
Let me see everybody do their Mr. Wacky then.
All right.
BJ, I could be a gold Mr. Wacky.
Oh, dude, there you go.
Yes.
How much does that cost you?
$35.
There you go. I'll kick in the extra $5.
Right. Yeah, but the problem is that your face is behind like some kind of like a plastic thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're keeping safe for something there. Yeah.
You're going to look great.
So many options.
You will not be claustrophobic in that at all.
Oh, yeah, no. Not
built-in face mask. There you go.
Look at that.
Oh, I can just run around the streets.
Yeah.
Waving your arms.
Tell people where the car sales are.
Oh, I see. Yeah, because you're the Mr. Wacky guy.
Yeah, Mr. Wacky. Let's get to our contestant today. We got Thomas in Auburn. Thomas, are you there?
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
Going pretty good.
Hey, Thomas.
Super duper.
All right, Steve, get out of here. For those playing at home, Thomas will have 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. Thomas, you can pass all you want, but you'll only get 3 guesses per question. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Which 2 NFL teams always play on Thanksgiving?
The Seahawks and the Saints?
No.
Pass.
There you go. Which year of the mid-2000s saw the first of the Saw movies?
2003?
No.
2002?
No.
2004?
Yes. What does the F stand for in the computer term GIF or JIF?
Pass.
Nick Cage starred in the 1995 movie Leaving Where?
Pass.
The first Winter Olympics were held in which 20th century decade? John Hinckley Jr. attempted to assassinate which political figure in 1981?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
I have no clue.
That would be a pass, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
How many pieces of bun are there in a McDonald's Big Mac?
2.
Ah, no.
There we go.
No, no, no.
Congratulations,
and
Thomas.
Thomas, unfortunately, you dropped a 1. No deuce there.
Yeah,
Well, wow, that
went... I'm going to put Thomas on hold because he's got a lot of beeps going on.
Yeah, he's got something going on over there.
And I don't really think that we're going to be getting back to Thomas to tell him that he was a winner.
No, hey, Steve, sometimes you walk in and it's an easy whacking.
Can I just say this right now? Thomas, thanks for playing.
Yeah. Yes, nice.
Yeah, I'll just do that right now.
Try again another
day. Thanks again, buddy.
Read some things or something.
Didn't even understand the rules, really. That was the problem as well.
Yeah. Steve, you're back. You know the rules. You ready to whack?
Ah, yes.
Whack it.
Which 2 NFL teams always play on Thanksgiving?
The Lions and the Cowboys.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Year of the mid-2000s saw the first of the Saw movies?
2004.
Yes. What does the F stand for in the computer term GIF or JIF?
In your face.
No.
That's it.
Oh. Format. Yes.
Wow.
Nick Cage starred in the 1995 movie Leaving Where?
Las Vegas.
Yes. The first Winter Olympics were held in which 20th century decade?
The 10s.
No.
The 20s.
Yes. No, John Hinckley Jr. attempted to assassinate which political figure in 1981?
Robert Reagan.
No.
Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
Robert Reagan.
Well, how many my brother.
How many pieces of bun are on a McDonald's Big Mac?
3.
Yes. Which country is home to the Great Barrier Reef?
America.
No.
Miracle.
Australia. Yes. Okay. The zodiac sign Pisces refers to what type of animal?
Fish.
Yes. You'll go down in history is the last line of which Christmas carol?
Frosty the Snowman.
No. Steve, you avoided that perfect 10 with that one.
Rudolph the Reindeer.
Yes. But you win 9-1.
I don't know. Should get anything for 9-1. Rudolph.
No, what? He beat him 9-1.
That's nothing.
He won.
He shouldn't get a song.
He whacked.
Yeah.
He gets a song. Whack. Wins a win.
I'm going to go with a longer song because BJ's being a pain in my behind.
Oh, really? Yes. Well, you're not going to play any rain gear again, so how about that?
I would have got it right if I had 2 more seconds, but you didn't.
Yeah. I didn't.
My question. How did they only get 1?
Those were really easy questions.
He got the Saw one and then literally knew nothing.
He did not know about a Big Mac.
Yeah. He said 2 buns with the Big Mac.
And didn't bother to guess 3 after that?
No, and he was having trouble. He wasn't passing. He was being done. Very confused. Maybe it was nerves. Maybe it was whatever the hell beeping was in the background of his
thing
going
busy.
On. Maybe
he might
have
been multitasking.
He could have been, but he didn't play the game very well. So
fortunate.
Yep, you got your whack, so it's fortunate for you. So congratulations.
No.
You're just going to, you're poking the bear over there right next to you, man.
If he's going to Rudolph shame me, he's going
to
get it.
Yeah, well, you've already multi-played songs, and I forgot to this morning to play twice.
Yeah, if you forget, you forget. Sorry.
They're getting louder.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah. This will not stand.
What did you do this morning on your show?
This is. We should go to the convention and tell them about that little
good old fashioned 5-year-old argument.
That's it. That's how you get the. That's how you get the big stars to show up. Hey, I don't know if you guys saw that the pair of Nike Airships that Michael Jordan wore during his first season with the Chicago Bulls just sold to a collector named Nick for $1.47 million. Unbelievable.
They look like the old Jordans, but because this is before he had his own line of shoes.
Yeah, they were the Nike Airships.
I don't even remember Airship.
I wonder if that's basically what Jordan used to be. Air Jordans used to be the Airships.
I mean, they have a similar. I mean, they look like a high top sneaker. So I don't know if they were inspired by that, but that's crazy.
Because were their Airships sold after they started selling Air Jordans? I wonder.
I've never even heard. I was never like a huge sneakerhead.
Yeah, so, I never heard of Airship in my life.
But I mean, I remember being a fan of like Nikes when I was a kid, and like getting like some. I remember I had like a knockoff version of Air Jordans. They were like Air Jordashes or something like that.
Air Jordashes.
I'm kidding.
A knockoff by another designer company. Pretty
Land
good.
Jordan or Sea Jordan.
Right.
Yeah.
Air Johnson. I think they were called.
Yeah,
they looked just like them. Minus a couple of things. They had two swooshes. That was weird.
Yeah. Yeah. He wore those shoes, the ones that Nick got in his fifth NBA game back in 1984. Game that the Bulls lost to the Nuggets. Jordan gave the shoes to the Denver Nuggets ball boy after the game, and they have been kept in good overall condition ever since. Well, how about the ball boy getting lucky on that one? And
so was it the ball boy that then gave it to the company to sell it, I wonder? Or like,
I hope the ball boy kept those, and he's getting a good part, if not all, of that $1.47 million.
Imagine that. Like, you just kept something as a keepsake, and you're finally like, you know what? I should probably see what it's worth. And then you find out it's worth over $1 million. I would sell it, too.
It over doubled the price of the last pair of Michael Jordan shoes that sold, the Nike Air Jordan 1s. Those sold for $560,000 last year. These doubled that.
Man, if you had that kind of money to do it, like I feel like if you have $1.4 million or $1 million to drop on a pair of Jordans or Michael Jordan sneakers, you have a lot of extra income. You're probably not paying to go and check the check or something like that. What would you do with them, though? Like, would you put them on a display?
It's got to be
keep
a museum.
Them in like a,
I wonder if Nick is a, you know, maybe this Nick guy, because they say he's a collector.
Yeah, but I mean, like, does he keep it like in a safety? I mean, that's how those shoes are worth over $1 million. Do you keep it like a safety deposit?
They should be in like a glass case,
like a museum-y thing. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Just wear them and just like go like hit the
you? Yes,
you monster.
Would wear them because you're Steve.
Ooh. I would probably write your name on them too.
I would
Steve's shoes now. They might
on the
have
bottom.
Been,
yeah,
yeah.
Right. Just show up to a basketball court and be like, let me play. And like,
hey guys,
you don't look like a guy that can play basketball very well. I'm like, I can't, but I'm wearing Michael Jordan shoes. Yeah. So let's see what happens.
You know what? You probably would be beaten up and lose those shoes.
It might happen, yeah.
If anybody who's at the court that actually knows what you're talking about, they realize that's a lot of money on your feet, and they'll go, this guy is an idiot on every level. I don't think he deserves these shoes anymore.
Would you try them on at least once?
Oh,
I mean, I guess yes.
And walk around your house.
Oh, I don't even know about walking
around.
I would
probably trip and fall and get hurt. Aren't they big? I mean, I feel like anybody that's a basketball player's shoes would be much bigger than me.
But like Tatum will go around putting like our shoes on in our house and walk around. It's very funny.
13.
He only wears 13, so they're not that big.
12. Yeah.
Tatum is not a 61-year-old man that will break his bones by just looking the wrong way at his own arm.
All right, fine. You don't have to do it, but I think that'd be fun to just like put them on and just like run around the house.
Yeah.
See if you're the guy.
No, I know it's not like a magic power.
You got to take a picture
of
yourself.
You never know, dude.
You got to jump.
I'm Jordan man.
Yeah. And make that iconic pose. Jump like Jordan and have somebody take a picture of you doing that right before you crash into the hutch.
Yeah, I want a ball pit underneath me if I'm doing that picture.
Steve calls in, guys, I'm not coming into work today. I broke my head. Yeah. I was trying to do the Michael Jordan pose.
We'll get him a trampoline. That way,
fair.
But we won't show that there's a trampoline there. We'll green screen it up.
Two MCL surgeries later. And
I think you'll be fine.
Man, I would definitely wear them.
I know you would. I mean, that is you. That's why you should never get a lot of money. Because he would befoul all the collectibles. He would just do horrible things with that money. That you'd get the
thing. I would like wear him in the bedroom and be like, babe.
Why wouldn't you? That's the one thing maybe that might actually get you extra play if you
wearing a Jordan jersey and some Jordan hot sneakers and nothing else.
If it was a jersey that he wore or shoes that he wore, I mean,
that's like a crazy. I mean, I'll just try and find it on that website, a Jordan jersey.
Okay, so you would go like to an overseas company? You'd have $1 million pair of shoes and then you'd wear a $25 or maybe even a $10 Jordan jersey.
Yeah, that sounds about Steve right there.
That's cool. That's cool. Who's Michael Jordan?
Michael Jordan.
Look at Michael Jordan's. Yeah,
where Michael Jordan? Why is he number 24?
I don't know.
He plays for the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah,
yeah, baby.
Good job, Steve. You know, sometimes the way his mind works, like he'll spend.
I just dropped all that money on the shoes. I can't be dropping more money on the sneakers. Like, but then how am I supposed to explain that to my wife? I just dropped $1.4 million on my sneakers, but then I'm also.
How am I supposed? I would hope at that point you have enough money that it's not a problem.
See, no, that's how you sell it. You're like, I might have spent all this money on those, but look, I got a great deal on this Michael Jordan jersey.
That's right. I got this from a country whose name you can't pronounce. And look, it's a great deal.
I could get one for $13.53 on that website.
I like how quick you pulled that up as well.
I like that he's like, this is going to be the way he justifies his $1 million purchase, is that his, you know, his knockoff Michael Jordan jersey. All right, it is time for Listeners on the Loose. This is your opportunity. You get to pick the topic. You get to guide this show.
This one's only $12.85, BJ.
I'm sure it is. Look at that. Oh, it's number 32. Good job. 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. Your calls, your texts at 917.
BJ and Migs. Mornings on The Rock. 99.9 KISW.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. It is Listeners on the Loose. You get to pick the topic. You get to guide the show. And it's brought to you by our good folks over at Snoqualmie Casino, 206-421-ROCK. You can also text us at 77999. Just remember, when your voice is on the radio, follow Steve's rule.
It's a simple one. Show some energy and bring it. Otherwise, you will be gonged and we'll have to say goodbye.
Goodbye, old friend.
206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. It's our buddy Joe Dredd in Seattle. Joe, you are on The Rock.
Good morning, my favorite radio people.
Good morning, Joe. What you got for us today, buddy?
Well, I want to address the topic of the Beatles versus the Stones you were talking about earlier.
Okay. Yeah, we did talk about the fact that there's been a long-running feud that goes on and off and on and off, and then Paul McCartney recently stoked that feud by saying that the Stones were pretty much just a blues cover band.
Yeah.
And then Mick made a comment during one of their shows recently that, hey, Paul McCartney's going to come up and do a blues cover song with us. That's as far as that's gone lately. What do you got to add to that, Joe?
Well, you know, listen to all the banter going back and forth, and mainly BJ, I'm talking to you because we're the same age and we grew up with this stuff. That, you know, the Stones are known as the world's greatest rock and roll band, and I'm not going to dispute that. I believe that wholeheartedly. But me, myself, when I first got turned on to popular music, it was the Beatles, and that was at the age of four. Mm-hmm. And damn. So when people try to compare the Stones with the Beatles, there is no comparison. They're completely different animals doing completely different things. Where the Stones are R&B, blues-based type of stuff, which is more rock and roll. The Beatles did play rock and roll, but the Beatles wrote some of the best love songs ever written. Although I am sick and tired of hearing Let It Be and Hey Jude. I will say that.
Yeah, and you know, when it comes to my memory, Joe, when it comes to competition, it was all part of the British invasion. You know, the Stones came after the Beatles, of course, were so successful on the Ed Sullivan Show. But I always thought the Beach Boys and Beatles were more rivals than the Stones and Beatles, at least as growing up. I just remember they went back and forth a bit.
Stylistically, they made more sense to compete. If you were going to pair two off to be like, which one's better, I think those two make more sense.
Yeah.
Yes, and of course the Beach Boys did that album Pet Sounds, which broke ground for recording, and of course led to the Beatles doing Sgt. Pepper and the Stones doing His Satanic Majesty's Request.
Yeah, and all three bands, though I will say this, out of all three bands, the Beatles and the Stones definitely still have more respect and cred than the Beach Boys do, unfortunately. Though anybody in the know
that's
really
Mike
does.
Love's fault, that's why. He bastardized the Beatles.
Yeah, and Mike, Boys. Don't forget Uncle Jesse also.
Uncle Jesse was fine. Oh, you think he had a problem with him.
Oh, you think Michael. You don't think Uncle Jesse ruined the band? All right, fair enough. 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. It is Listeners on the Loose. You pick the topic. You guide the show.
A lot of people have been texting in about the Kraken all morning. One person said, hey, after the crappy weekend of sports, it was nice to see the Kraken win a game. That was pretty awesome last night, which I agree. What a great win for the Kraken. 5-1. Yeah. Finally, they've had two home games at Climate Pledge. But they finally won a game at home, BJ, and they won it in convincing form.
Yeah, they look good. And you and I were talking off air because I don't know enough about hockey to know what's going on. But it was just like, and I was saying to you, it's like, man, they look so. so different than they did against Philly and against Jersey. And, you know, so I wasn't sure why they looked so good. Was it because Montreal's not good, or these guys finally got some rest and they really are, this is how they are?
And I'm saying, like, yeah, Montreal's a good team. We went to the Stanley Cup Finals last year for a reason. I mean, they're not considered one of the best teams, but they're a good, solid team. I think you caught them also, like, you know, they were riding high on a big win. I mean, they just crushed Detroit, like, 6-7-0. I can't remember the exact score, but, like, they were sometimes, like, you know, you kind of have a letdown after that. And then also with the Kraken, you know, they had a rough road trip. I mean, that was a lot of games to play in a short period of time. So when they played Philly especially, I think they were just gassed. And, you know, you get to come home, you get to rest. I figured that the home opener would probably be a tough one for them just because there's a lot of emotions and a lot of anxiety and pressure, self-imposed pressure. And I was like, I feel like this game against Montreal, this should be the one where we get to see a better vibe of what this team's going to be. And they're fast and aggressive, and they didn't really stop, which I thought was great. Like, they never, like, kind of, like, pulled back and just tried to sit on the lead. Even up until the very last couple of seconds of that game, they were trying to score. And I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, I just like that when teams do that in general. You know, mm-hmm. the teams that play prevent, yep. whether it be football or, you know, basketball or hockey, and you sit there in your chair and you go, you know, why can't you not do that and go out and still try to score goals, you know, get points?
Well, that's a part of why they lost two of those games. I mean, they're trying to play prevent in the third period in a close game, and then once the other team scores, like, you've kind of killed your momentum. Like, it's hard to turn it back on. You know, you've been in this defense mode for the entire period, and that was kind of an issue, I think, against definitely against Columbus, and I think New Jersey as well, and Vancouver especially in that game, where all of a sudden it went from being a 2-1 lead to a 4-2 loss. But somebody brought up a good text, said, sounds like you guys didn't finish watching the game last night, because after the game, John Forslund said, what an arousing game. And my girlfriend and I could not stop laughing.
All right, John Forslund. You know what? He's been hanging out with you too much.
See, I was like, I watched the whole game, watched the post-game show this morning. I don't remember him saying that, so we found the audio. So the Rev has it.
Total team effort as they surround Philip Grubauer. Second win all time and the first ever in this beautiful facility. A rousing win over the most storied franchise in NHL history, the Montreal Canadiens.
Is there a difference between the word arouse and rouse?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Space.
Arousing.
Like yes. saying an exciting win.
Yeah, there we go.
Not an arousing
win. Not, hey, JT, I can't stand up kind of a win.
I don't know. I'm going to take it that way anyway.
I was going to say, you never know. It was a very exciting game.
What do you think? He's like, that game was so great, I got a stiffy?
Yeah.
Here's my question to you. Do we know John Forslund enough to play that audio and make like he said arousing, or do we know him well enough to throw that out there?
Man,
he seems like he's got a great sense of humor.
He does.
Yeah, it's hard to know. Oh, that's what he did there. You're the one that got to meet him at the press area.
He's cool, man.
He's a very really good cool. dude. I feel like, and he's been good with us, and we've thrown jokes around, and he's as quick as anybody, and... Ooh, I don't know, because I feel like that would be fun to just go, I don't know what you're doing over there, John. What's happening?
I don't know, man. I feel like we need a couple more interviews to get to that point of comfort with John.
Save the audio.
Yes.
And maybe, you know, a couple months down the road, we bring that back up, as it were. You know. Yeah.
Arousing. I love that they thought he said he was excited.
You
can
tell what that texture is thinking of. And by the way, I'm 100% with you, buddy. I'm usually thinking that way at times, too.
That would be great if he says every time.
So tomorrow, Steve, you say going to be a good test for us because the Wild are coming to town.
Yep, Wild are a really good team right now, at least. I mean, it's hard to tell. I mean, just as much as I don't get too bummed that our team wasn't playing all that well, you can't get that excited that a team's doing that great this early in the season. But yeah, but right now they're really good, so this is a good test.
I'm confused. What, did the Wild come from somewhere else to Minnesota, or were they an expansion?
They were an expansion team. I believe.
But 10 years ago?
I'm pretty sure. That after they lost the North Stars.
Right.
The North Stars went to Dallas and became the Stars.
Right.
I believe it was an expansion team. It's my mom, if you could just look that up.
Yeah,
it's, sure.
Which was so bizarre to think that Minnesota couldn't, like, they lost a hockey team.
It's a hockey hotbed.
It's so bizarre to me.
Yeah. They were founded in the year 2000.
Yeah, I thought it was an expansion
team. Oh, so it's over. Yeah. It's like it's over 20 years ago.
Yeah, but they weren't taken from another city.
Yeah,
I was pretty sure of that, but I it's been 20 years.
Me too. So it's a battle of expansion teams, which of course is, you know, which is kind of fun. Two new teams.
Well, and last night, you know, we finally settled the battle of Seattle versus Montreal for the 1919 Stanley Cup, and it's cool that we're now the Stanley Cup winners.
Yeah. Right. You're absolutely right.
Do they still have that old Stanley Cup?
Well,
it's the current one, right?
Yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah.
The Stanley Cup that's being, like, you know, they have two. They have like one that usually hits the road so they don't get it destroyed. But the Stanley Cup that you win, that trophy is from, like, there's the Seattle name that's etched in there. That was from 1919 or 1917 when they won the cup.
The Seattle name's etched in there?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, dude, if you spend some time and, like, just look at the lore of the cup. So when a team wins the cup, they etch in, it used to be they'd etch in just the name of the team and say Stanley Cup champions 1917, Seattle Metropolitans. But that piece of the plate is always on the cup. So you'll see that if you ever get to see the cup up close and personal. But what they do is they have all these rings on the cup, and they'll put every player that was on the team, the name, it gets etched into the cup.
Oh, yeah, I remember that from the Snoop Dogg Hockey 101.
There you go.
Yeah.
The best part about all that is if they accidentally put a name in that didn't deserve to be on the cup, they don't just leave it, they X it out.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You'll just see a bunch of X's on whatever name that was. Like, for whatever reason, if they weren't eligible or if it was just a miscommunication of somebody's name, they'll do that. And then after a while, if you've got too many names on the cup, they'll remove one of those rings, retire it, and then replace it with a new ring. So the fat part of the cup is constantly rotated. Not constantly, but over the course of time, it's rotated. The smaller part of the cup stays the same. So that's why the Seattle name is still on there.
So that cup is over 100 years old.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is cool.
That is very, very cool. And the lore is that the Canadians, if you saw a piece of the intro last night that was narrated by the grandson of one of the 1919 players.
1919 as well, yeah.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
He played for both.
Yeah, because it was 1919 where the plague, where the Spanish flu basically just stopped the cup from happening. And I didn't realize that Montreal offered us the cup anyway. I don't know if it's because we had more wins in the series, but the series wasn't done. And I guess the Metropolitans turned it down. Like, no, we didn't win this. We're not taking it.
I didn't know that until last night. I thought that was a cool tidbit of information about that. That they were just like, yes, no, we're not going to just take this, get this nod to us because we didn't win.
But we won last night.
Yeah, so now we're the champions.
They should etch that in. That should be on there. 1919 Seattle Metropolitan /Kraken champions, right? No? All right, well, I'm trying. You pick the topic. You guide the show. It is Listeners on the Loose. 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. More of your calls, more of your texts. We'll take those at 933 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock. 99.9 KISW.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. It's listeners on the loose. You pick the topic. You guide the show. 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. Let's go to Brad on Whidbey Island. Brad, you are on the Rock.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Not too bad. Awesome. Brad, what you got for us today, man?
Can I do a quick shout-out?
Yeah. All right. Well,
I'm starting a new job after 10 years. I was working at Nickel Brothers Boat Builders out here in Whidbey Island. And I'm going to be switching over to the Postal Service here in the next month or so. So I just want to say thank you to Nickel Brothers for a great 10 years. To all the guys and gals out there, you guys rock.
Oh, wow.
Some of the best boats on the planet, from ferries to tugs to all that stuff. So I just want to say thank you to all those guys.
Give it out a shout.
How about this? You know what? A guy leaving a company wants to give out a positive shout out. I guess that was a good place, especially if you're leaving.
It was good. I mean, it was a good spot. You know, ups and downs with through work, not so much with the COVID thing, but just in the industry of building boats. And there are just some real special people out here on Whidbey Island that work for that place.
That's
and I
awesome.
Just want to say what's up and thank you.
All right, Brad, what you got for us today, man?
So last night at the game, I don't know, you guys were talking about the old 1917-19 Metropolitan team.
That's because, they raised the banner, even though some
right?
people who we think were Canadian fans weren't happy about that.
Well, then who cares? We're at home, and that's our deal, not theirs.
Right, I love that it's like their own identity, and they're showing some love to the Seattle hockey team. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. The old jerseys are pretty sweet. I don't know if you guys, there's a couple of them out there in the fans.
Oh, the Christmas color ones you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, they're so sweet. I love that the people are rocking those, and even though, you know, we're at the Kraken game and the spirit is still alive in the hockey, and I'm glad we won. And I think yesterday, BJ, you were talking about just like momentum and stuff of, I think it was yesterday, of just different things that happened. And I think, you know, the 5-1 win was probably due to being at home, having all that, the banner and just all that special stuff happening, probably gave us a little boost too to beat them the way we did, which was totally awesome.
And then that Eberle goal, I think less than a minute into the game, all of a sudden that, because a lot of the players before the game were talking about how they want to give a good product for the fans, because the fans really stepped up and showed a lot of energy in that first game and they don't want to disappoint them again. I feel like once that crowd got rocking with that goal, all bets were off, man. They were just flying.
Yeah.
I saw somebody rocking on Saturday. They had the Metropolitans jersey, but it was in Kraken colors, which I thought was kind of funny.
Oh, dang. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. You know, I'm waiting to see. That's an interesting thing, because I was thinking it would be a cool alternative jersey to have Kraken jerseys in the Metropolitans colors, you know, for some crazy alternative world.
For Christmas, maybe.
Well, yeah, that's for me, that's what I think of.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I have some jerseys for other teams that, you know, for whatever reason, they put green and red in their colors. And so therefore, it's like, OK, I'll wear this for the holidays. Yeah. So, I mean, that would be great to have. I'd buy it because I'm, if I was a jersey buying guy like Steve.
Well, I mean, I could find you a website if you want to really buy it.
Oh, really? Is there? All right. Is there? You're right. It's probably out there again in a country I can't pronounce.
Dude, there is one like when I saw it, it's like the Kraken jersey. But it was like in black and gold colors.
Oh,
and I was just like,
whoa.
I was like, I don't understand this. Like, well, why would you even do that? Yeah, there it is. Danny just so happens to be on that website.
Wow. Okay.
Like shiny gold, black jersey. And it's not even like mocked up to be like the same scheme, like concept wise as a Kraken jersey.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Crack was smoked, I think.
Yeah, crack was smoked.
Can you get that in about three
I mean,
weeks?
I know it. I
you
remember.
Get it by probably December, if you want.
Way back in the day, before we got the new unis for the Seahawks, remember they had the blackout?
I had the black
school.
On black ones, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that I can understand.
Yeah, there it is right there. And it's not even like the team hasn't made that. It's just some random jersey company decided, you know what, we're going to sell black jerseys with the gold numbers and letters.
I got an ad the other day for one that had Michael Myers. It was a Kraken jersey that had all the logos and everything, but then had Michael Myers slashing the anchor or the S in half, and I was like, huh?
That's
spooky.
Yeah. I did see a fan at the game rocking, he had the Jason Voorhees mask,
that's
and his nameplate was Voorhees, and he had number 13.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's cool. Pretty cool, too. All right, I go for.
I see there's some fans are trying to create their own, like, you know, persona, kind of like at a Seahawks game or any sporting event. You have someone who like, kind of they want to be that guy.
Oh, yeah, I'm the Friday the 13th Kraken fan.
I saw someone like a red, like, I don't even know, like, it looked like a little, like, crawfish costume with a Kraken jersey. Kind of like looked like the character that the New Jersey Devil beat up on.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I'm not sure why you're being, we're not a crawfish.
There's a lot okay. of there were a lot of octopus themed costumes.
Okay, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, at some point, are we going to have a mascot? Because some people are asking. I don't know. I hope so.
As long as it's not named Cuddles.
If it's Cuddles, I'm buying a Cuddles jersey.
I'm 100%.
I thought you already said you're going to get a tattoo of Cuddles.
That too.
Yeah. I got to be thinking. Here's what I believe. This is my total belief that there's going to be a big release. And they're going to have stuffed animal-y things or maybe bobblehead-y things or things.
They should work with Build-A-Bear and Build-A-Kraken.
You know, it's probably...
Build-A-Kraken.
Maybe they just have... Because of all the shipping stuff recently, maybe they're just stuck in a ship somewhere.
So the mascot's just stuck in like one of those pallet wood things?
Yeah.
It's kind of ironic.
Yeah.
Like overseas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just needs to be released, Rev.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. There's a lot of stuff that people haven't got and probably won't get for Christmas because of this.
Well, they've been really big on the whole the red eye and kind of you never really fully see the Kraken. You just get the tentacle. If you go to the game, they have this cool video wall that's very aquatic looking as you're going down the elevator. And every once in a while, you kind of unless I was seeing things, but I saw a little red eye. But it wasn't you didn't see the full.
Did you have anything before you went?
I took mushrooms any normal person would before a hockey game. No, I was sober.
I like how you fully admit that. I think I saw it, but
I'm pretty sure I saw a red eye. Wow. And then it disappeared. So I think I think they're going to slowly build into the mascot. It's we haven't found it yet. We're looking for it. Maybe I've created this in my own head, but I'm going with it.
I feel like it's some. I mean, honey, I mean, that's just a merchandising opportunity for children that you got to do at some point.
So it said there was a dude dressed as Zoidberg from Futurama.
That's okay.
How about if Rev goes with his face mask thing that he wore for Beat Migs, and then they're like, "That's it. That's our mascot."
I would be the mascot. I would absolutely if I could be. Phil, I'd be fine with that.
But you have to be named Phil. What if they said, no, you can't go with the name Phil?
It would be Phil the Cranky Kraken.
They're like, we got you, but your name is going to be Cuddles.
I mean, you get to be the mascot.
Yeah. No.
All the games for free?
Yeah. I'd do it. It's fine. If I get to be the mascot, then sure, call me Cuddles.
Oh, cool.
All right. Wow, there's a lot going on.
That's your new name.
Yeah.
No. Call me from the mascot.
You have to be nice to people, Rev. Are you sure you want to do
this?
Do I? Yeah, you do.
Gritty's not nice to anybody. Do you watch his stuff?
No, Gritty hits children.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gritty.
Sometimes unintentionally. But.
I don't think that's the Seattle way. I feel like we're the exact opposite.
But it's the Kraken way.
Yeah, I don't.
Have you seen the fights we've gotten into?
Yeah, that's on the ice. I feel like from a public service and, standpoint.
Probably from a marketing point.
Probably going to be the nice. He's going to be the nice Kraken.
Oh, another question about Kraken jersey. He said, Migs, I don't know a bunch about hockey, but me and my buds, we have become fans of the Kraken. We're all going to a game next month. All of us are getting jerseys, and pretty much everyone in my group, they're getting number 13-10 of LOL. I want to do something else. Who do you recommend?
Ooh.
Oh, that's a good question.
That's a very good question.
I ended up I want to get the Grubauer jersey because I'm a goalie, so I but this part of me, I love Jamie Oleksiak, number 24. Tall dude, big dude, beat the crap out of you, but he also sets up great goals, and he's fast as all hell. That guy is pretty badass. Yanni Gord's a good one.
Yeah.
He was on fire last night. He was flying back and forth. He's known for being a two-way player, meaning that he can play and score goals, but he also come back and help the defense, and he was doing that throughout the entire game yesterday. But the one I really like, I love the story about his number, is Jaden Schwartz. He rocks number 17, and the whole backstory behind his number, it's pretty powerful. He had a sister who unfortunately passed away from, I think, leukemia, and big supporter of her and him. They were really tight. And she was a hockey player as well. I think she played over at Yale University, and that was her number. So he was in the NHL rocking number 9 for a while. And then his sister sadly passed away, and he said, you know what, I'm ditching the number, even apologized to the fans that purchased his jersey with the number 9. He's like, I'm changing the number, and I hope you understand why. And it was to pay tribute to his sister who wore number 17, and he's been wearing number 17 ever since.
That is a hell of a story.
Yeah, I thought that was that's more than just picking a random number and thinking, oh, that's my new lucky number. There's that's a big significance behind it.
I feel like that'll transcend time, too. It's because you can always tell the story even when he's no longer playing anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to, bust out that jersey. You've given me, those are some good suggestions right there.
You can't go wrong with 32 and getting your own personalized one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, of course, is to commemorate the fact that we're the 32nd team, and that got retired. So 32 will always, 12 is for the Seahawks, 32 will always be a jersey you can buy and never go out of style.
A lot of people really loving Cuddles in Fuego.
Yes. I think Cuddles that's a, I'm not sure where we'll put that mascot, but it should be a mascot someday.
The Rev Cuddles.
Yeah.
Rev
Cuddles.
Yeah.
What if actually that is the reason why the mascot costume is stuck in like,
one of those 40 containers that fell off the ship.
Right? What
is? Oh, wow. It's actually in the deep.
Or even with the, like, because, like BJ was saying, maybe they're doing, like, stuffed animals and all of the above. Yes, and, like, if they don't have that ready, like, you can't release the Kraken and then not have anything to buy.
They need to release the ships before they can release the Kraken.
What if, I mean, we don't know the story because they're not going to go on the. They probably won't come out. Because some people are saying, like, a good part of why also we didn't get the big, elaborate, crazy show is because like things just happened so fast, didn't have time to really get everything done in time, and you had two concerts before, so you couldn't do a real massive dry run to make sure like the elaborate intro would happen. So maybe it's going to take some time because of that. Mm-hmm. We'll never know. I mean, like Wiki's saying, it's because they want to start the season off with a lot of historical stuff, which they've been doing.
Yeah, and that's probably another reason why we don't have a mascot, because that could be a night itself. You know, where they just say, okay, this is going to be mascot night. And, I mean, that's another reason. I mean, I could say that's another reason to get people to go to the rink, but really they don't need people. I mean,
they released tickets yesterday. I mean, obviously the verified resale tickets were out there, or scalper tickets were out there, but they also released a bunch of tickets just legitimately.
Oh, really?
Because players get a hold on a certain number of tickets, and when they're not, if they're not going to use them, then they sell them to the general public. So there was a bunch of tickets available. I mean, I don't know. Dude, you're right. They should promote the fact that, hey, this game is the game where we announce the mascot's going to be there, because I'm going to do everything in my power to be at that one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be a lot of fun. The kids are going to dig that. I mean, kids.
How about us adults?
Or the adults who still live like their kids? Yes.
Bring us Cuddles.
Yeah.
Bring us Cuddles.
Now, I apologize to everybody who works in the Kraken advertising and marketing department if, in fact, you have no desire to do this. We just feel like you should, but you know what? You get to run your own company how you want.
I think we'll all feel very empty inside if the season ends and there's no mascot.
I agree. Everybody we've asked didn't say no. They said they didn't know. And I feel like they would want to, like, you know, really nip the conversation in the bud if they just decided they didn't want to. Like, some teams don't have cheerleaders. There are some teams that don't have mascots.
Yeah.
You think they would just go, we're not doing it.
Right.
So
stop asking us.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
So I feel like they are doing it. They just, you know, on their own schedule, pretty much like you said, like, you know, Todd Leibwiki said.
Oh, someone said, what if the Kraken is the reason why those 40 containers fell off the ship?
Well, that's some good marketing right there.
That would, of course, mean that fantasy is reality and the world's coming to an end, but okay.
Yeah. So to speak of tickets, you see how cheap Seahawk tickets are right now.
Dude, I was just looking at that last break. $26.
Wow.
What? Oh, how do you? It's
almost like as if they're a losing team with a backup quarterback and running back playing.
Weird. Are you sure? Come on.
Crazy.
It can't be that.
Yeah, 300 level tickets for the Seahawks this weekend are $26.
I guess you should say, dude, I saw somebody on social
media. And it's Jacksonville. That's the other thing. You're seeing one of the other worst teams in the NFL.
Yeah. Right. You just want to make a couple dollars back off of whatever investment you made in your season ticket purchase. You're not getting your money back.
The toilet bowl.
I saw someone bitching on social media about, like, stop selling your tickets for so cheap to Kraken fans, because, you know, you could get a pair of tickets for like $80 yesterday if you waited till the last minute.
I love how that's cheap. I mean, it is cheap compared
to $150 face value.
Yeah.
But the whole argument was, I'm a season ticket holder that likes to sell my tickets, and you're bringing down the value of the ticket.
Really? Wow.
And I'm just
somebody
like,
said
this.
That?
And I'm like, and then finally someone's like, look, man, I'm not rich. I got season tickets. I can't go to every game. If I can't sell them for face value, I'm going to sell them for however much I can get so I can make some money back.
Really?
You're going to lower the. Shut up.
I just laugh at that person.
Yeah.
But there were people that were agreeing with them.
Of course they were. It's you know, it's like the HOA. You have an HOA in your season ticket neighborhood is what's going on. You're bringing down the value. Cut it out.
I was like, wow, you're going to tell somebody that if they need extra money and they're like, oh, crap, I'm not going to be able to make my money back. I'm going to just sell for whatever will get me a couple bucks.
I think they call that gouging in a weird way. Like, oh, wait, you want us to just continue to inflate the price, even though I'll be more than happy to get this much for him.
It's $27 though for a Seahawk ticket?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the last time that happened, Jim Mora was their coach.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's been a while. But you know what? All good things, my friends.
Will come to an end?
Yeah.
Well, that's really nice.
Everything's in cycles. I mean, you know, that's how it is. You know?
Remember, everything dies.
Yeah.
Come on, and maybe we'll finally get into the season ticket holders now, because there's that long waiting list.
Yeah.
And we're going to drop off.
And Al Gray will be like, yeah, I'm not getting them.
Yeah. This is the time. You need this to happen so that you can then get your season tickets for when the you know, the tide rises again.
Oh.
And we get the new whatever superstar, whatever we get.
This is how we weed out the people that don't want it bad enough.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go. Buy low, sell high, baby. Yeah. That's it.
Why don't you want it?
Here's a big question that needs to be answered. What do Ryan Castle and Halloween candy have in common? I'll tell you at 9:51 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW. And now, the Ryan Castle question of the day.
What do Ryan Castle and Halloween candy have in common?
Even when it's bad, it's still pretty good.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Oh, like the candy?
That's it.
Yeah.
Even candy corn. Dude, there was a bag of candy corn sitting in the kitchen there at the office the other day.
It's going to be here for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
I ate a ton of that stuff because I like candy corn. You can fight me if you want to. And then the stuff I didn't eat, I made sure to at least suckle a little bit before I put back in the bag.
Oh, that's where it got that new flavor
just
from
so
this morning.
So I could get a little bit of, just a little bit of the taste on my tongue.
See, and I thought I was weird when I said, this candy corn tastes like Ryan Castle. Now I know I'm not hallucinating.
You're like, why do I know that?
I know that flavor very well. There's a new survey, and people were asked, what type of booze pairs best with Halloween candy?
Whatever gets me drunk.
Yeah. Whatever gets me drunk. All right, there you go.
I feel like a lot of parents probably feel that way after spending the entire day in the cold, usually in the rain, watching their kids trick-or-treat around the neighborhood.
I think anybody that, you know, is a fancy dessert person understands this answer. I mean, it's a no-brainer, right? Everybody knows what goes with chocolate. It's the same thing that goes with cheese.
Tequila.
Vodka.
Wine.
White Claw.
Oh, yeah. White Claw. Yeah.
Yep, White Claw. There it is.
That goes with everything, yeah. Chocolate-based candy got the most votes, which, of course, yeah, anybody that likes non-chocolate-based candy is a terrorist and should be put on the watch list.
Danny. Look, if I had to take a kid trick-or-treating, I would definitely bring a flask and there wouldn't be wine in it.
Parent of the year. And he has a 12-pack next.
BJ and Migs' play of the day.
Speaking of Vin Diesel, finally there was some good news about him. Did you see that I guess Paul Walker's kid, he walked her down the aisle. And, you know, she posted this photo online of this happening. Vin was actually Meadow's godfather as well. And so he gets to walk his goddaughter down the aisle.
That's cool. What's that whole slogan with that two fans? Like, your family or something like that?
Yeah, exactly.
When you're here, your family.
That's it, right? No, that's...
And he gave her a breadstick.
The movie To Olive, To Garden.
Ah, okay, my bad.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. How much does bankruptcy cost?
Well, bankruptcy costs, of course, vary depending on what type of case you're filing. There's a certain amount of court costs and other out-of-pocket costs that you're going to have in any case. The filing fees in a bankruptcy case are about $300, whether you file Chapter 7 or Chapter 13. One of the things to watch out for when you're shopping for bankruptcy attorneys or looking at the different cost options is that a lot of times, especially the really cheap places, don't tell you upfront about all the court costs and whatnot that you're going to have to pay in addition to the attorney fees. So make sure that you get the full picture when you're comparing prices of bankruptcy lawyers on what the attorney fees are, how much your court costs are going to be, so that you can really make a true comparison.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at choosetherightchapter.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.